with all the things that are going on in this world, and Japan doing what it's doing with all these meltdowns going on and all the stuff that's going to affect the whole world and blah, 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 blah. And you know what the Christians are going to do with that thing, the modern Christians. They're going to make it like, well, the Lord's got to be coming pretty soon because now we're having earthquakes and meltdowns and floods and tsunamis. And, you know, it's still interesting how we don't get the big hits yet as America. We don't get those hits. And we really never have. And I won't talk about it just for a second here. It's a DVD. It's a documentary. It's not just another conspiracy theory. And Grandma Kench has been listening to these things and listening to Christian radio for years and years and years. Bob, you know that. And she gets caught up in this stuff really pretty deeply, and nobody wants to hear it because you know the sky is falling. The sky is falling. After a while, if the sky is falling, nobody's going to care. And that's exactly what's going on in this country anyway. Everybody's heard all this stuff, and nobody really believes it anymore anyway. But this agenda is very interesting. It's just showing how America is going to go from democracy, supposedly. And it's funny, nobody ever talks about republic, you know, but whatever. And how it's going socialistic, and this thing was made a ways back. I don't know what the date is on, but she said this was written way back. And it's got some pretty classy, not classy, but some pretty high caliber government people in here. Ed Meese and some other names in here. And a governor, Idaho governor. And, you know, it's got some names that give it some respect, whatever the word is. And I do recommend it, but you're not going to get anybody to listen to it. Nobody wants to hear anybody's two cents theory on what's going on in America towards socialism. Because they just don't believe it. They just want their money. So as I watch this thing and listen to the whole thing, for Grandma's sake here, although she's not here to hear me tonight, as I'm listening to this thing, I'm recognizing scripture after scripture after scripture what Paul warns about. You've got the affairs of this life. We've got, even in Daniel, wearing down the saints. And this guy talks about how America is being grinded down. And so I recommend it. I would make a copy and send it to anybody if they want, all in behind my DVDs. Yeah, and it has to talk about, you know what it is? I was picking up on this thing, and this is what I want to talk about this video here a little bit. They keep using the word, and it makes sense now, Judeo-Christian country. That's what we are. Or that's what we were, whatever. Judeo-Christian. You've got the law, and you've got the risen Savior. So we kind of mix them both. We got the commandments, we got the law, the morals, the do right according to the law, yet we have supposedly, you know, Jesus Christ. So that's what we're dealing with. Because Paul's teachings are not Judeo-Christian. Paul's teachings in Ephesians chapter 3, puts us back together with the Jews, et cetera, but he takes care of the law. So the morals come from Paul. Paul's got enough stuff in his writings to cover the Ten Commandments minus one, and he's got enough stuff in there that if we were to follow those things, we'd be fine. We're not doing the Judeo-Levitical thing. A lot of people are. So America's duped in this Christianity because they think that they're a Christian nation, and really they're Judeo-Christian, and they're ignoring the risen Savior. And we said that. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is a very simple, single verse that explains what's happening to America. And you all know this. I know that. And I know people are going to turn to the website. The sermon is not about that stuff tonight, all these conspiracy theories and all that stuff. It's a good movie. It's a good study. It's very quick. It talks about the environmentalists. It talks about culture. It talks about America, the socialistic, what's happening. And about it's very good from a general thing. But like I say, nobody's going to listen to it anyway. But 2 Timothy 2:15. There's a 2:16. Where's my Bible? 2 Timothy 2, you think I know that verse. Rightly divide. If this Judeo-Christian country would have rightly divided this Bible that we didn't put together, Britain put it together, but that we spread it across this nation, if we would have rightly divided this thing, we hand somebody a Bible, we would recognize that in verse 16, if we don't rightly divide this Bible as a Judeo-Christian nation, then we're going to increase unto more ungodliness. And bottom line, that's what it is. So when everybody says we need to go back to the Bible, we need to go back to save America, they pull out all the standard verses, 2 Chronicles 7:14, to seek His face and pray, and all this kind of stuff. They don't get it. And so yeah, all these people are about. Even Gibbs is on here. For those of you that know Gibbs from the Christian law crowd out there. So, yeah. So that's what's going on. Bottom line, the question now is for people, when all this world is falling apart like it is, that's a huge thing that happened in and what's happening in Japan. That is pretty big, I have to admit. But it isn't Matthew yet. If it is, then the rapture is just really close, because that still has to take place. He's still got to get rid of the church of God, the Spirit of God, that has the goodness of God. So, it must be horrible to be over there. And I'm sure there's some people over there that understand rightly dividing, and they're having a horrible time. My little whine about a cough, not enough money to fix my floor, so I have a cough, is nothing compared to what these guys in Japan are going through. No doubt. And I'm sure there's some righty dividers over there. I would imagine, maybe not. Maybe we're that close that Matthew is just about ready to start happening. I know they had a volcano go off today too in Japan, somewhere a little further south. So let's just keep an eye on the news. But we don't have to worry about going through the tribulation. We don't have to worry about the wrath of God. We don't have to be frustrated because we want to fix America and make America go back to what it was before. We don't want the Judeo-Christian America. So, bottom line is Isaiah and Ezekiel, the devil himself, wants to be like the Most High. He wants everybody to worship him, and this is where it's all headed. And it's as simple as can be that he's behind all this. What's in Acts that talks about the conspiracy against Paul? Well, this conspiracy against Paul is still going on. They don't want to hear about that stuff. The Judeo-Christians don't want to hear anything about the risen Savior, because that knocks out any of that Judeo stuff, and it makes us turn to what Paul writes about our manner of life. Our manner of life is not Judeo. It's not born again. It's not following all this marvelous entertainment. Got into a squabble today with Tino about this movie Firefighters or Fire or something or other that's a Christian movie about marriages and all that. So that's a bunch of baloney. It puts forth a modern false gospel. Well, then he starts writing this stuff. I'm always right. I'm, you know, da-da-da-da. You kick up the baby with the bathwater and all that stuff. And oh, come on. I wrote back and said, no, I just want to put the baby in the dirty water in the first place. So it's a little late once the baby's in the muddy water to worry about it. But oh well. So if somebody's willing to look at this movie, and it's a short one, and understand what's happening with socialism, and it's amazing. It's amazing the stuff that's going on behind the scenes that this guy points out, documents it, and pictures, and movies, and important people in the government. I mean, it's there. And I'll send it to you. I can send you a copy or whatever, but it's not going to change anything. We have to be heading towards the tribulation. That's what the Bible says. These modern Christians just ignore all that stuff. They think that Jesus is coming back and then we're all done with that stuff. No, there's still some horrible times that have to come before he comes back. So those that are worried about it, nothing to worry. It's still going to be tough. We already have a hard time. We've already not America what it was at one time. You know, Brian, you're looking for work, and Peter, you're working your head off to keep the food going, and Bob and Sam, you're working there what you're doing, and we're trying to preach this stuff, and there's just nobody cares about the goodness of God. Anybody ever talks about anything, it's God's judgment, and he's going to chastise you if you don't get your life together, and better be right before he comes. No, he's not. That's not the way it goes. So let's just set all that aside, and I'm not going to give you one of those modern, up-to-date, because of Japan's earthquake and tsunami, marvelous pictures. It's amazing how fast that stuff goes. It's a lot of people. But you know we're still not going to hear the truth. You know we're still going to have that thing manipulated to destroy America and to turn it towards the Judeo-Christian Antichrist, who's going to be able to bring it all together, be Mr. Wonderful, and everybody's going to buy into it. We're not going to be here for that, though. And if we're going to tell people about it, then we're going to look at righteousness. The fruits of righteousness today, of God's righteousness, is persecution and mocking and people laughing and thinking you're crazy and losing your family members and losing your friends and all that kind of stuff. You're not being a jerk about it, hopefully. You're trying to just tell them something in the Bible and they just reject it all. They don't, I mean, these are King James people I'm even talking about here. They're accepting all different kind of Bibles, they're accepting all different kind of beliefs because we're all one happy Christian family. No, that's exactly what the Antichrist wants, what the devil wants, Ezekiel and Isaiah, to bring this stuff all together. And people are just going to do it. Unless they get into a King James Bible, rightly divide that thing, and stick with Paul, and learn the rest of the Bible for learning and admonition, but trying to put together what Paul does in our lives. That's what we're after here. So tonight, let's get into this thing. We've got 45 minutes or so here. I think I've got everything going right here. We're going to look at another one of Paul's foreign words that is foreign to people. It's not a Paul foreign word. It's a word. It's a teaching of Paul. It's a word that's foreign to modern Christianity, the right application to this word. And that's the word righteousness. And I'm not going to manipulate a sermon into a conclusion and have y'all come to your computer altar and pray and increase your tithe, et cetera, as they do. Just going to go down my list of verses here that I've got that talks about righteousness. And there's some fantastic, marvelous things here. But what what people have to recognize is we're not talking about our righteousness. There's verses in there that talk to us about our righteousness, no doubt. But it's nothing like in John chapter 5. These are just two verses that you ought to be able to remember, these two verses in John chapter 5 and John chapter 8, because this is what sticks out with modern Christians if they want to do anything good at all as far as being a Christian. Being a Christian. He says in John, I'll do John chapter 8, verse 11 first. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. There's that phrase, go and sin no more. That's the direction a supposedly serious Christian has today. We need to stop sinning. John chapter 5, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So these folks that want to jump into the Gospels must not recognize, or they do recognize this, and this is why they preach about God's chastisement and the sickness that can come upon us for partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily and not baptizing, which is a first act of obedience, as they try to teach, that Baptistic baloney. So we're up against a modern Christianity that doesn't even believe in sinning anymore anyway. They got God's love, so everything they do is accepted by Him. And if not, He tells them in the heart that you shouldn't be doing that because He doesn't receive anything. God's a very open, liberal God. He allows all these things to take place. Or they're a supposedly Bible-believing type of a Christian, and they want to be serious with themselves as being a Christian, so they teach their children and their friends, don't you mess up or God will get you. God's judgment will just hammer you down. Things can, you know, if you, like he says here, sin no more, lest the worst thing. And he even has that in 2 Peter, where if you, you know, you go back and you've cleaned up your life, you've escaped the pollutions of this world, and you go back, it'll be seven times worse than before, or something like that. In 2 Peter, I think it's 2:12 or something like that. That's to me, the differences here with this modern gospel stuff. Even the serious guys just got it all wrong. They're missing the joy of the risen Savior, of what He did when they crucified Him and He rose again. He didn't just continue His ministry from the Gospels. It's the way of God more perfectly. So, let's just look at righteousness based on what Paul teaches. So, let's go to Acts chapter 17. Now, I'm not going to look at all the, I can do all the verses because some of the verses really didn't pertain to anything we're trying to say here. That's one of the things you do is you go through your concordance, you type it up, and you look at the verses that pertain to what you're thinking about, and you'll be surprised. There's going to be always some hot verses in there that really, really show you some really fantastic stuff here. Okay, so let's get started here. We're looking at righteousness, the word righteousness, but what Paul teaches, which is different than what Jesus taught during the Gospels and Hebrews to Jude in the tribulation. Acts 17, verse 31. Here we go. because he hath appointed the day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Okay, fine. By that man whom he hath ordained. Fine. But they don't want to realize that the righteousness of that man is his righteousness. And we're going to be judged by Paul's gospel, Paul's words, Paul's teachings of what the risen Savior gave him to teach to us, Romans 2:16. Jesus Christ is the judge, no doubt, but he's using Paul's gospel. And Paul's gospel is not just 1 Corinthians 15, 1-5. Jesus died, buried, rose again, da da. There's your gospel. What about all the rest of the stuff that Paul teaches? We skip all that. I know you do. That's the problem here. Okay, Romans 1:17. Now let's look at Romans 3:21 first. Look at Romans 3:21 first. I'm going to say I'm sorry about the cough, although I haven't coughed for a while. That's good. I've been drinking honey water here. And it'll come about, believe me. I'm trying not to talk hard or anything. Romans 3:21. My nose is stuffy, but it is not a cold. Romans 3:21. So you don't get my germs by sitting close to the pulpit. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Those are some good verses. But we're talking about the righteousness of God. Now, chapter 1, verse 17, we'll come back to chapter 3 here in a minute. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And Habakkuk tells us that those people in the Old Testament days had to live by the law, and they say in Habakkuk that they live by their faith, or his faith is the word that they say, not referring to Jesus Christ. And all we see today in Christianity is this, have faith, have faith. Faith is everywhere. Have faith, have faith. And they're talking about increasing their own faith. And they need to have his faith. Yes, we have a faith that can grow, no doubt. And we'll see that. We look at the word faith. But it's his faith. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, not faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, Romans 3:25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God. To declare his righteousness. It's his righteousness we're looking at with Paul. Hot tea water. Or hot honey water. Verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that you might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Romans 4:3. We're not going to stick in any verse. We're not going to go through a context of any sort. Go back and read them. Keep the record of it. I get the notes on. I was told tonight that somebody is asking for my notes. I guess I better get them online. The thing that bothers me about the notes, Bunny Trail here, is how many people out there look at the notes and don't hear the sermon. And I'm not the official loud kind of a preacher. And so I just get it from the gist of the notes. So the notes leave a lot out, believe me. Romans 4:3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, look at Galatians 3:16. Look at Galatians 3:16. I don't think it's going to be 3:6. It's Galatians 3:6 is what I want. Well, I better check it out. I'll check it out here. Anyway, scribbles. Galatians 3:16. I think there's a 16, actually. Well, there is. Galatians 3:16. Nope, 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So, we're seeing here that most of what Paul teaches about righteousness is Christ. He's the righteousness of God. And what we're counting on in our lives is his righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It's faith now. Verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Imputeth is to put to our account. Verse 9. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision? That's us. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. So, we as uncircumcision, we had this imputed to us. Verse 11. And he received the sign of the circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. That's us. Not only for Abraham, but to us. Now, why not the Jews during that time? This is all going to take place, you know, the Old Testament, coming up after Abraham. But he was imputed by his faith. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So here's the guy that started the Jews, and they were given the law, and yet the father of the whole crowd was received the righteousness because of his faith. Verse 22, and therefore is imputed to him for righteousness. So we see a great example here. And I know that if I do this right, I'm thinking this thing right, this whole Antichrist thing, he's going to work up Abraham, he's going to work up Muhammad, he's going to work up, is it Moses? Does he do Moses or does he do Jesus? To tie everybody all together and having the same father. And so as a result of all this kind of stuff, we get this mix for the Antichrist again. And you know, when you just even mention the word Antichrist, people just laugh. I mean, we've got science fiction movies about creatures and space things coming out of the sky. The music is just horrible. It's demonic. And everybody's just so waiting for Revelation chapter 6 to kick into gear. It's amazing. Romans 5:17. For if one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. It's a gift. People ask you, have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Oh, stop it. That doesn't say that anywhere. But it does say the gift of righteousness. Have you received the gift of righteousness? What do you mean by that? Well, let me show you something, Abraham, in Romans chapter 4. Let me show you some things here about the righteousness in Romans chapter 10. See? They want this. They want the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'll take His righteousness. My righteousness is still as filthy rags because of my flesh. Well, my flesh does. Isaiah. But what I do as a Christian now, Romans chapter 6, now I can actually do stuff that pleases God because He got rid of the flesh. Separated my soul and my flesh. So now, my works, my good works, will please Him. My bad works won't please Him, but He'll burn them up in the judgment seat of Christ. He's not going to chastise them now for me because they haven't been judged yet. Gets me back on that bunny trail, doesn't it? If God's going to chastise us for doing wrong now, what's the point of the judgment seat of Christ? That's where our works will be judged. Anyway. Romans 5:18, next verse. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Okay. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men and justification of life. His righteousness is given to us. You don't hear that in the churches. You don't hear that in denominational Christianity, the Judeo-Christian bunch, the Save America crowd. The end of that video does not have the recommendation to solve everything. They just want to help you bring America back to the strength it was. The only way America is going to get stronger is the Antichrist is going to come along with ways of fixing America. America's done. It's doomed. It's against God. It's against the goodness of God. It's against the King James Bible, rightly divided. So, when God says in Romans chapter, I'm rambling, Romans 11:22, when he's done when the Gentiles are done with the goodness of God, he's going to be done with them. And they're just about done with that stuff. Let them try to fix America. The Antichrist is going to give them all the ways to fix it. Okay, Romans 5:21. I think we did that one. Let's look at Romans chapter 6:13. Now we get to the second half of Romans chapter 6. We get into a unique place. The first half of Romans chapter 6, where it starts to talk, you know, the first question that comes up, even when you talk to people, Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And they don't ask chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? They ask verse 15, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law? There's a difference there. Continue in sin is different than shall we sin. One is an action, one is a place. He takes care of us involved in sin. It's no longer there. We're dead to sin. And you read that in the first 14 verses. We're dead with Christ. We should believe that we should also live with him in verse 8. So he says in verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So Christ took care of sin. But the second half of this chapter does deal with the fact that why? What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? And then we got some verses that it does refer to our righteousness. Sure, no, of course it does. We are still called, he says that we're our workmanship, we are his workmanship, we're ordained to do the right thing, to do good works. So yes, we should have some righteousness from our day-to-day walk. That's the difference right there, I think, with a lot of the Paul guys, Paul-only guys, Clarence, I mean, you mentioned this, that they don't care about the standard. They don't care about the stuff in Timothy and Titus. And maybe I overdo it. Maybe I'm just turning that into a bunch of bondage on people's lives. But I know the battle that some folks on our website have in their families, in their lives, trying to do the right thing. And I'm just amazed and appalled and irritated and angered and depressed and frustrated, just like Paul says. But I guess I shouldn't be distressed, but I get that way. It's my flesh, I guess. That we fight the battles we fight, and it's from our own family, from our own Paul people, supposedly. It's amazing. So the second half of Romans 6 is dealing with us. For example, verse 13, yield neither ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So, he took care of sin. There's no law, there's no transgression, there's no sin, da-da-da-da. Let's take care. All things are lawful. But there's still things that would be considered unrighteous. They're still wrong to do, based on Paul's teachings, of course. So let's do the right thing. Let's take our members, our body, our members, as instruments of righteousness. Let's do the right thing. And where do you learn about righteousness? Instruction in righteousness. The scriptures. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Yes, he still tells us things to do that we should do. That now, we're not all doing them. Everybody in the room says amen. But if we got the grace to, when you trip up, to get back up again. We don't have the grace to go out there and just party hardy. We have the grace so we can get up when we trip, when we follow our flesh. So that's the second half of John chapter 6. It is talking about us. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I mean 18, sorry. I'm sorry, I mean 16. Gee, we'll get there. Romans 6, 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, I'm already saved, so I'm not going to worry about the sin unto death, but why do we turn back to those things? Because back in those days, they would have caused us to die. And then get that second death in Revelation, the lake of fire. So you have obedience unto righteousness. It doesn't say obedience unto baptism. It talks about obedience unto righteousness. And another two verses talk about obedience to faith. Nowhere does it say obedience to baptism. It's just another one of those Baptistic teachings that are just there to build a religion. Again, sorry about the cold or the allergy stuff here. Okay, what did we just read? 6:16? Yep. 6:18. Being then made free from sin, you don't hear that from the gospel crowd, you became the servants of righteousness. Our righteousness? No. Now, again, this is where the mid-acts and the hypers, they don't go here. They don't want to change their lives except here and there, a little bit, and everywhere. I've seen it on their websites. Their music is terrible. The way the ladies dress is more often terrible than not. And the ladies are running the place, I've seen that. And it goes on and on. And that they'll argue, they'll preach all the time about the goodness of God and the grace of God, and they'd be very nice people. So, you know, that brings people in. But I dare them to preach Timothy chapter 2, Timothy chapter 5. I dare them to preach Titus chapter 2. They must not do it, or they just, I don't know, it puzzles me, I guess. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness, and to iniquity, unto iniquity, that was before they were saved, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. We need to do the right thing as a Christian. That's Paul's manner of life. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. You know, Paul says, the things that I do, I showed you, you learned from me. Do those things. Okay. Oh, let's see. Romans chapter 8. Let's see Romans chapter 8. So now we've established that most of what Paul talks about, when he talks about righteousness, he's talking about God's righteousness that's imputed to us. And yet, because of this grace and the direction from the Scriptures, we have some things that we should do that's right. We have things that we should not do because it's wrong. It blasphemes the Word of God. It blasphemes the doctrine of God. And we've got Christians doing them all over the place, Bible-believing people, rightly dividing Paul people, and we've got families that are making their daughters do this, making their guys do this, making them get tough in this world. Oh, I wish I could just do a sermon sometime. I'll do it one of these days. So, if Christ be in you, verse Romans 8:10, the body is dead because of sin. There's our body. It's a dead body. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. His righteousness is who we're talking about here. Can't be ours. He just goes on, and I can say that because I've read all these other verses. So let's keep going here. Verse 9, chapter 9, verse 30. Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. That means he can't do it. And that's the mystery that Paul teaches in Ephesians chapter 3. You think I'd smoke or something the way I sound here these last couple of months. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they're not ignorant of their own. The funny thing is people think they got a bucket full of righteousness, and they really don't. They have no bucket. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 talks about the fact, and then in Romans chapter 8, that they can't please God anyway, even if they do the right thing, because it's full of sin. It's attached to the flesh. It's still sinful. It's dirty. But once you get saved and truly saved, then you, in spiritual circumcision, cut you away from your flesh, and now you can do the right thing. You can do the righteousness that we need to be doing. But the people are ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's Jesus Christ, the risen Savior teachings. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So no longer is the law there to demand our to define our righteousness. All things are lawful, he says. Oh, but not all things are expedient. Anyway, it goes on. There's five strings attached to that thing. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 10. Verse, I'm sorry, we're still there. First, look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So your salvation puts you into His righteousness. They're not talking. He's not talking here about the heart man believeth into doing the right thing in your walk. The heart man believeth unto His righteousness. His righteousness is what we receive. Under the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 14, verse 17. I hope I can make it through with this cough here. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What righteousness are we talking about? Sinning, stop and sin no more? Our own righteousness? No, it has to be His. First Corinthians chapter 1. Look at First Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse... I hope you can even understand my words with all this coughing stuff. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, verse 30, I'm sorry. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. There's four things there. One of them is righteousness. Isn't that amazing? 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Whose righteousness are people not awakening to? They're not awakening to His righteousness. Sure, you could preach there, awake to your own righteousness and sin not, quit sinning, you know, quit doing the wrong thing here. But if people could awake to His righteousness, they would give that goodness of God thing, and they would realize the goodness of God brings people to tell you to repentance, not the fear and judgment of God. All you hear about this Japan stuff is, boy, you don't want to irritate Mother Nature. You keep hearing about Mother Nature this, Mother Nature that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. How many modern Christians know that this is what took place? For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Wow. A lot of change takes place in our salvation that people don't know about. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Do we have our strength as a Christian based on the fact that we're walking so right, righteously and properly? No, it's his righteousness that's our armor. You'll see in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now that really bothers me a lot, because we don't avoid the people we should avoid. We sit and we try to argue with them. And I was going to do a sermon about that, but I'll just say it. And we are around people, we don't withdraw from such, we just don't. So, when he says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And we get out there and we start doing the stuff that our family's doing, the world's doing, the TV and the junk that they're watching, and it's just cruddy junk. He's still not talking about our righteousness with unrighteousness. Our flesh is still unrighteous. It'll still do the wrong thing. And we'll, in our mind, try to do the right thing and say the right thing. But that's not what we're talking about here. What fellowship has righteousness? His righteousness has been imputed to us. So what are we doing hauling His righteousness around to these junk places and to be around these people we're not supposed to be with? You know, here's a thought, just kind of a bunny trail thought. You know, we say, well, when things get really close to the tribulation, it's going to really get tough, and that's when I'm going to start making my stands. I'll probably lose my friends, I'll probably lose more of my family, I'll lose my wife, lose my husband, but I'm going to wait till it gets really close. And you know, again, I'm not that conspiracy guy so much, but look around. Look at what's going on in this world. I wonder if maybe it isn't close enough to start preaching Paul a little bit harder. Nicer, maybe. I don't know. Just things are going on. The Lord isn't coming back tomorrow. I know that because we just have the rapture get out of the way in 7 years, supposedly, after all that. But in time, 7 years is no big deal. And all we need is one of those kind of disasters over here. All we need is for that radiation cloud to float over America and poison us all with deaths all over the place. Disease, pestilence, kill the crops. I mean, it can't be far away. They're certainly not going to tell us about it. All they're going to do is keep producing more synthetic food, GO something or other, and teaching our kids. And it's just amazing. We're sure we're going socialistic, and sure, it's all headed for communism, but it's headed for the Antichrist is where it's headed. People can play the affairs of this life if they want, but it's not going to do you any good to get involved in the affairs of this life. Paul even tells us not to. Okay, let's get back to this thing. So, what fellowship hath righteousness? What are we doing dragging his righteousness? GMF or GMO or something. Let's go here to 2 Corinthians 11:15. 2 Corinthians 11:15 is talking about these devilish ministers. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, but they're of the devil. And the righteousness that they're preaching and teaching is their own, the people's, not the righteousness of God. The devil would never teach that. No longer hot tea water. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Well, we know that still is Jesus Christ. But still, we wait for the hope of righteousness. That's a good phrase, isn't it? The hope of righteousness. We stay and allow His righteousness to be imputed to us, and that gives us our hope. That is His righteousness we're counting on. Our righteousness will give us a couple rewards, maybe, at the judgment seat of Christ. Most of us probably just going to burn. Burn up. Ephesians 4:24. And you put on sorry folks. And that you put on the new man, which after God he's created in righteousness, his righteousness. Doesn't have to say his righteousness, we know what he's talking about there. The new man is not because we're doing new things in our daily life. It's because we're created in righteousness and true holiness. Now we go out and we do the right things. It still should change our lives. But the fact our lives are changing, if they are, doesn't mean that we are putting on the new man as we do those things. That's works. Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's his righteousness again. As well as his goodness and his truth. And yet, Philippians 1:9 and 10 tells us that we're supposed to grow in judgment. And we'll change the things we seek after in our lives. We'll change how we dress. We change what we say, how we talk. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Philippians 3, verse 9, just about done here. And be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, even though Christ took care of the law for righteousness, he says that which is through the faith of Christ. That's how we get his righteousness, by the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Whose faith? His faith. I don't think people realize how much everything that we have imputed to us is his. It's not ours. The whole armor of God has nothing to do with us. It's his salvation. It's his truth. It's even his prayers. Holy Spirit intercedes and prays for us. We don't know how to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 6. couple of quick verses here that talks about our day-to-day life. He tells us in 1 Timothy 6:11 to follow after righteousness. That's doing the right thing. And how do we know what the right thing is? 2 Timothy 3:16 talks about, is it 15 or 16? 16, I think it is. The Scriptures. Instruction in righteousness. Yep. 2 Timothy 2:22. Follow righteousness with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So, Titus chapter 3, it was finished. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Bottom line is here, I mean, a modern Christian, a modern Bible-believing Christian, will tell people at an invitation, 1 Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Okay, they'll pull that verse out. That's going to Paul, so they can say they're a Paul-preaching person. No, that doesn't make you a Paul-preaching person, but you're going to a good verse. But they never, at least in my life, in my years of being a Baptist, they never did expound on, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but what about the righteousness which he has done and is imputed to me? That's never taught, at least that I remember. And I've been around a lot of them that came into my church and preached to us, and nobody ever talked about that stuff. All they could talk about was, if you're not doing right, God will get you eventually. No, if you're not doing right, we all know you reap what you sow. So many of us have issues in our lives that we started and we caused, and we just recently found out it's our fault, it's not God's chastisement, it's just stuff that we put together. We're in the situation we're in because of us. We didn't follow His wisdom, His teachings, His Scriptures. His righteousness is imputed to us, and that's a marvelous thing. The modern Christian, they know nothing about that. And trying to tell them about it doesn't work. Keep trying.